Good morning. How are we all doing today? Another Lord's Day and a day that the Lord Jesus Christ could come back. We're closer. Let's pray that today would be that day. Let your hearts be there, brothers and sisters. Want the Lord to return. Look forward to that day. Don't put it off in your hearts wanting to accomplish things of the world. The Lord wants you to want Him here and now. We've had a lot of people come through this church. A lot. And we're a little assembly. This had been put on my heart a day or two ago, but the reason we're a small assembly and a lot of people have come through these doors and we're still a small assembly is because the Word of God never returns void. Never. And anyone who's ever come here to Bible Baptist Church has heard the Word of God. And you can see which way it worked. Now, I'm not saying everyone. I mean, other people have different wills for their life according to the Lord. And they, who are we to know the perfect will of God for any one person's life? But we do know also that we're here to minister and to teach. And so we've done that. And the many that have come through are now either out fulfilling the will of the Lord or went the other way. So just want you guys to know that as I lead into this subject of hell. This subject on hell is a divider. It is a divider that is just like divorce. Divorce is a huge issue out there, and the position that this church takes on divorce is not popular. And because of our position, just on divorce alone, we're a small assembly. Think about that. We should take an equally strong position on hell. We're the local church. We should own it. Hell is ours to teach. We have the power. We have the authority. And we ought not apologize for it. We ought to know hell, know its ramifications, where it is, how to get there, what's going on. We ought to know the theology surrounding hell because it is a part of the gospel. Do not hold back on hell. Hell is a divider. People don't want to talk about it. Do not spare hell for your children. Do not do that. Scare them to death. They can handle it. They can handle it because there's one place you can go that can help you with it. If you remember when I brought out this track to you guys, remember this one here, the 5 points, five truths of hell in my sermon? Hell is optional. It's optional. So for children, you don't have to go there. And they like that. They need to know why they're going there. But it's a part of that gospel message. And that's why the Lord put it on my heart here at Bible Baptist Church, not that we spare hell here, not that we don't preach it strong enough here, I'm not saying that, but for some reason, the Lord put it on my heart. Maybe it's because the three children that are here at church now were all saved because of their fear of hell. And maybe that's why it's there. Anyways, last week, the word hell itself, it occurs 54 times translating the Greek and the Hebrew. So the word itself is under attack. I went into it last week where the NIV itself replaces hell. Softening it up. Don't want to talk about it. And that's really what's going on in the world. Anytime I talk to someone in my family, a friend, or anything you're witnessing, and you mention the word hell, their eyes dart, because you can read body language, and they don't want to recognize hell. As a matter of fact, they don't want to recognize hell as much as the Lord Jesus Christ. They use his name in vain, and they use hell in vain. That tells me something is biblical about hell if it's under attack. So the word Sheol, which is behind the word translated hell, the Sheol is the Hebrew word, 31 times is hell in the Old Testament, and 31 times is grave, and 3 times is pit, for a total of 65 times. That's just the word itself. Not to mention how much hell occurs in each book of the Old Testament in its nuances and meanings. It's throughout. That's my point. Hades, which is the Greek word, it occurs 10 times in the New Testament as hell. One time is grave, and then there's another Greek word, Gehenna. That one occurs 9 times as hell, and 3 times as hell fire. So 23 times, I think that's 23, I don't have that number there, but it appears in its words itself, but then on top of that, all the nuances, all the words that are referencing hell. So once again, I tried to bring out the emphasis of how important to doctrine hell is throughout the scriptures in the 66 books. I went into the Old and New Testament saints' physical bodies. They go into the grave, and the New Testament saints' bodies will be resurrected at the rapture, and the Old Testament saints at the beginning of the millennium. So just try to get a little timeline down there for you. We went over that. Also that Sheol and Hades, both these words, the Greek and the Hebrew, refers to the place of the deceased in either the body, which is usually referred to as the grave or the pit, and then the other aspect is the word hell, which is spiritual in sense, talking about conditioned sin, things to that effect, and where you go. The Hebrew word Sheol was translated hell, basically means the world of the dead, as if a subterranean retreat, including its accessories and inmates, has a few other words following there, grave, hell, and pit. And we went into a bunch of different references talking about hell in the Old Testament. We talked about Jacob and how he knew that he would go into the ground, the grave, that translation of the word grave. He would be with Joseph in the grave. He wanted to be with Joseph in the grave in his mourning. Brought out that context of that word there. Brought out the Hebrew, the Sheol there, translated as pit. In Numbers 16, if you remember with Korah, he was trying to usurp Moses and his authority. Moses said a prayer. Basically, Lord, open up the earth and swallow him up. And that's exactly what the Lord did. And that opening occurred, and he went down into the pit. That pit would be an opening going to hell. And that's where we talked about that for a little bit. Gehenna of Hebrew origin. Valley of the Sun, Hinnom, Gehenna, or Gehenna-him. Let's see, it's as a name for a place or a state of everlasting punishment. And so that's the word behind the Hebrew, the Greek, Gehenna. And then we had hellfire, which we looked at in Matthew 5:22 and Matthew 18:9. And then also there's Tartarus, or Tartarus, the deepest abyss of Hades, to incinerate in eternal torment, cast down to hell. I don't think we looked at that reference. We can look at 2 Peter, if you would. 2 Peter. And as is my custom, I'm not telling you where to go, so I get there first. 2 Peter 2, chapter 2, verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God. Am I in the right place? I'm in First Peter. Hold on. 2 Peter 2:2. Thank you, Dan. He was going to support me all the way. 2 Peter 2:2. Yeah, not me either. 2 and verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell. That's your word, Tataru or Tataris. And delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment. And so we know that this place, hell, that exists, God used to thrust basically Satan's angels that were committing fornication with women. He took them, put them into chains of darkness, and they'll be let loose again someday. They are currently down in Tartarus, hell. And so I gave you a bunch of other verses that refer to hell, but don't use, we had the abyss, we went in Ferrer, it's a P-H-R-E-A-R, which is the pit, or the hole in the ground, and also Revelation 9:2, there was perdition, I think I went into that with you, and also thanatos, T-H-A-N-A-T-O-S, which is death, basically, in Romans 8:2, fire, and then the lake of fire. And that's what we'll get into a little bit today is lake of fire. We'll be finishing up with that. And so, in the Old Testament, saved saints went to Sheol. That's what happened. They went to Sheol. They didn't go up to the third heaven, the New Jerusalem. They went down to Sheol. If you look at Luke 16, that'll be 16:22. This is not a parable. This is a real event. This is a real event because the Lord Jesus Christ always told us when he was giving us a parable. But in addition to that, there are names, places, and times. This is a real event. This actually happened. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Okay, look what happened here. The angels carried the beggar to Abraham's bosom. You know, the Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. When we die, dying's not fun. When we die, the Lord is there, and he will take us. Here the angels carried the beggar. It goes on to say the rich man also died and was buried. He was in the ground, the grave. And in hell, he was in hell. His body went into the ground. He went down to hell. He was given a temporary body, because we are souls, both physical and spiritual. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and see if Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. So there was Lazarus. He was in the bosom. Abraham's bosom. That would have been paradise, heaven. For the Old Testament saint. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tortured in this flame. You don't forget anything in hell. You remember everything. We are eternal. He knew the names of his family. He knew the events. But now added to him was the torment of hell. this is awful. And so many times we go over this and we don't look at this. This is eternal. This is no joke. And that's part of the reason why we here at Bible Baptist Church are a small church. Because our job is to give this very sobering message. And it's not well received in the world. It's scary. It should be. God made it that way for a reason. Because we are desperately wicked. We need eye openers in a big way. We are taking a class on with Ryan on Monday, and Ryan, in both classes that we've taken with him so far, has always said the best place for us to be is at the foot of the cross. As believers, the best place you'll ever be in this life is at the foot of Jesus Christ's cross. What does that mean? It means you're like the beggar. You're on the ground. You're humbled. Your head is bowed. And you're saying, have mercy on me. That is the best place for a believer to be. God loves a humble, contrite believer. But we're not. We're in this world. And we're so full of pride. So hell is here to wake us up, to remind us you don't want to go there. So again, to anyone listening to this message, or who will listen, or who has children, tell your children about hell. Tell them. Children receive it. Mine did. Was it Sabrina, I forget which one. She kept wanting to get saved. Oh, everybody's saved, so I want to get saved, Dad. And my wife and I said, you'll get saved when it's time to get saved. You know, we knew. She hasn't repented. There's no repentance there. I think we were doing is this Sabrina where we were doing the devotion, guys, and she was gone? That was you. And we're in the middle of devotion. I was so into it. And I said, where's Sophia? I looked at here. And I went into the room and she was weeping. Weeping. She didn't want to go to hell. I said, it's time. It's time. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord for hell. So in any case, this is a real event. This is hell. And the rich man is there currently right now. His tongue is still dry. And he still needs and wants. But he doesn't look over anymore to Abraham's bosom. He doesn't see anymore those in Abraham's bosom. Because they're gone. What happens now in the New Testament, because of Jesus Christ, our great high priest, because of the work he did on the cross, shedding his blood, going up to the Holy of Holies, going into the Holy of Holies, and sprinkling his blood. At that moment, and we'll get into these verses in a moment, he went down into the depths of hell, into Sheol, and took captivity captive. To get away with.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Hell's still there. Still there. But for the Old Testament saint, now the New Testament saint, they're in the third heaven, the New Jerusalem. Hell is also down. Important to know, hell is down. You know, it's funny, Jenny said to me, you know, I never really thought about that. She said, hell's down. And it's said everywhere. So, Jenny, I just thought I'd go through a couple of these for you. Genesis, for I will go down to the grave. Genesis, I could go over and over. Let me do the downs. The Lord killeth and maketh alive. He bringeth down to the grave. Down to the grave. All these down to the grave. But then, let's go ahead and look at hell. They also went down into hell. They all gone down, which are gone down to hell. Ezekiel 32, 27. Amos 9, 2. Thence will I bring them down. Right at the beginning of that verse is dig into hell. Hell is down. And it's important that you understand the reason why it's down. The reason that hell is down is because it is the earth is the center of God's attention. Where else is there to go? Everything focuses in on earth. And hell is right here. How important is hell? How important is it? Major important. The Old Testament saints went down to Sheol, Abraham's bosom. 1 Samuel 28. Let's make sure we look at that one. I just need to give you a reference on that because it's important to establish this. 1 Samuel 28. Always establish with two or three witnesses, which I'm not always good at. But 1 Samuel chapter 28, and we'll take a look at verse 8. This is when Saul was being attacked by the Philistines, and he wanted victory, but he no longer had Samuel. And, you know, Saul was used to having Samuel as an intercessory to God. So he would go to Samuel, and Samuel would say, okay, God's given you the victory in this battle, and things to this effect. Well, what happened here is that Samuel had died. He went to Abraham's bosom. And Saul was in trouble with the Philistines. So he was seeking God's will. But God wasn't helping him. So Saul took things into his own hands. And he went to a witch. And so in verse 8, and Saul disguised himself and put on a raiment and went. And he went and two men with him. And they came to the woman by night. And he said, I pray thee, divine unto me by thy familiar spirit, and bring me him up whom I shall name unto thee. Now he's, of course, referring to Samuel. And the woman said unto him, behold, thou knowest that Saul hath done, how he hath cut off those that have familiar spirits, and the wizards, let me go over to 11, I'm sorry. Then said the woman, whom shall I bring up unto thee? And he said, bring me up Samuel. Where was Samuel coming from? He was coming from Sheol. He had died and gone to Sheol. Saul asked to have him brought up. Bring him up. And in verse 15, and Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? So Samuel talked to Saul. No doubt his spirit came up. We can get into the rest of it. The point is, hell is down. It's at the center of the earth. And in the Old Testament, those saved saints went to Abraham's bosom, which also was down, right next to hell. And this shows that they came up from where they were. We know that Korah went down into the grave or into the pit in Numbers 16. We went over that. And this shows that hell has a doorway. There's a physical doorway to hell. The pit is a part of the abyss. This pit is at the top, part of the abyss, the deep, the deepest portions of hell, the pit. And it's opened. And Pastor, when I was talking to him about this, the use of the grammar, Jeff probably knows this. It shows a cylinder. And there's an opening to hell. And it leads down to hell. Look at Revelation 9. Revelation 9. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 2 says, "And he opened the bottomless pit." He opened it. "And there arose a smoke out of the pit." Well, why is smoke coming out of the pit? Because as we go down, it gets hot. It gets hot because down is hell. "As the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit." This pit is just the top entrance, the cylinder to the abyss. It's a shaft that goes down to hell. Smoke was coming up out of it. Picture that. It's real. It's on earth. Temporary bodies and souls are in it. And there are openings that occur. There are doors for these, for hell. Go over to Isaiah 5. Isaiah 5, look at verse 14. "Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure, and their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it." So we know that wide is the road, but narrow is the gate. We know that. What this is saying is that hell has a mouth. It opens up. And people go in. And this says it's a wide mouth. And a lot go in. You're looking at Isaiah 5, chapter 5, verse 14. 14, yes. So the New Testament now, since the cross, the dead in Christ now go up to the New Jerusalem in the third heaven. That's where, when we die, if the Lord tarries, we go. Praise God. And we are going to die if the Lord doesn't come back. So guys, let's today have the Lord come back. That'd be good. Now the thief on the cross, this was interesting in the timeline here, the thief on the cross went to paradise or Sheol first. So as he sat next to Jesus Christ on the cross, the Lord said, "You'll be in paradise with me." But when that thief died, he went down to Sheol first, Abraham's bosom. The thief now, because of Jesus Christ's victory on the cross, the sprinkling of his blood, going down and capturing captivity captive, the thief on the cross is now in the third heaven, in the New Jerusalem. If we take a look at, Luke 23, if you look over at Luke 23. Luke chapter 23, verse 42. "And he said unto Lord Jesus, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, and there was a darkness all over the earth until the ninth hour." Think about that. I always put pictures in my mind. I do in the day. I'm walking to my house. I have my roof's kind of short and everything. When I walk to the house, I always get this vision. And I look at Christ doing what he did for us on the cross, and the day is dark. Imagine that day. You know, they call it a lunar eclipse or solar eclipse or whatever the case may be, but it got dark, and God made it that way. "And the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst." While Christ is on the cross, the Father is judging, and the Son is shedding his blood. And the veil in the temple rips. when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. Having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Remember, Jesus could not die. He was God. So he stayed on the cross until his Father was done. When his Father was done, he went up into the Holy of Holies. Because remember, everything that we see in the book of Hebrews concerning the throne room, the Holy of Holies, is a picture of what's in heaven. It's just a picture of what already exists. And so everything the Jews were doing here on earth was a picture looking forward to what Christ would do in the actual throne room in heaven. And so Christ goes into the throne room. He does that. There's no longer a need for the Holy of Holies on earth. Gone. No need. Jesus Christ said, it's finished. Amen. And what's the next thing he did? He went down. He went down and took captivity captive. Let's turn over to Matthew 27. Matthew 27, and we're going to look at verse 50. Matthew 27 and verse 50. Jesus, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. And the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. The Lord Jesus Christ went down. He took captivity captive. Brought it up with him. Take a look at Hebrews 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. That by two immutable things it was in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Whether the forerunner is for us, entered even Jesus, made an high priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. There is so much theology in this 18 through 20, I could preach three messages easy. The two immutable things was basically God's promise and his oath. He has promised us. He has made a promise to us that he will keep his promise of a way of escape, salvation, through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We could tie all the theology in there, and I could bring up Old Testament verses, but at the end of the day, he's promised for those who will repent and trust in his Son. Heaven is your home, not hell. And he made an oath, because he couldn't swear by any other greater than himself. So he made an oath with three witnesses, the Son, the Father, and the Holy Spirit. This is when Jesus entered the veil, paid the price, took all the captivity that was waiting down in Abraham's bosom captive, and took him up. And now we have the New Testament. Take a look at Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he hath ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descendeth is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. Jesus Christ, the incarnate, perfect man, God-man. That's important. Incarnate, in the flesh. Remember, temporary bodies for us now. They're in the grave. We'll be resurrected for us at the rapture. For the Old Testament saint at the beginning of the millennium. We'll be reunited with these bodies. I told you last week, 30-year-old body. Get ready. All right. Psalm 68. Turn over there. Psalm 68. The Old Testament. Psalm 68, 18. It says, thou hast ascended on high, thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts of men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. We look to the cross, and now we look back to the cross. Old Testament 2, back 2 for us. So here we have hell laid out throughout the scriptures. These are some of the more familiar verses that everybody knows. But it gives you an idea of the timeline, where it is, what it's about, and also where we'll be going. So in the New Testament, since the cross, we go to the third heaven. No longer Abraham's bosom. Now, I want to go over some of the implied uses of hell. Just the implied uses. Some of these are, without even the word, are... Context drives everything throughout the scriptures when it comes to hell. Context. You can find it everywhere. And there's so many who, remember, not only the word hell is under attack, the very context of hell is under attack. And because of my time and I'm running short, I'm going to go ahead and just mention one that I particularly like a lot. It was one that Dr. Aaron Strauss had brought to my attention. And it never left my heart concerning hell. And I want to share it with you. Turn over to Hebrews 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, I'm going to look at verse 27. Verse 27. Now, authorship, remember I told you, context drives the interpretation. So if the authorship and the audience are under attack in the book of Hebrews, why? Well, here's one reason why. The audience of the book of Hebrews is a mixed multitude. It is both saved and unsaved that are receiving this book. It is at a time when Judaism is in a transition from the temple, where they need to stop going and worship the Lord Jesus Christ in the local church. So we're in that transition. And there were those who had a profession, but they were going back to the temple. And they were putting their hands on that bloody sacrifice. They were counting on the Old Testament ways of salvation. And this warning in verse 27 is given to them who are doing that. It says, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. What is that? That's hell. Clearly. What's fiery? It devours adversaries.
Good.
Dr. Aaron Strauss was challenged on this point heavily by one of the students at the time in the seminary. He was gracious, Dr. Aaron Strauss, very gracious. And he put a test out. I was always nervous because this was my first, the first book I ever took seminary on was Hebrews. And so I was nervous, the test. I would even bother Dr. Aaron all the time saying, what's going to be on the test? And he would look at me and say, you want me to tell you the questions on the test? He was in that class. And I used to get them from Aaron. He was... I got a B plus in that class. And so Aaron was challenged so much on these, what was basically four warning passages throughout the book of Hebrews. He gave a test that was the easiest test in the whole wide world to pass. But it challenged the few that did not have the right audience. It basically said, if you don't hold to the right context of the book of Hebrews, which I'm teaching, you will not be able to answer the questions that I give you. And one of the questions was, explain the fiery judgment or fiery indignation in Hebrews 10:27. And it was a multiple choice test. The first one was A, hell. B, Girl Scouts cooking, having s'mores at the campfire, whenever. And it was like that to D. What's the answer? And give your answer, he said, and explain it in the context of the book of Hebrews. Struggle that is. So, context drives everything with hell. So when you're looking, you don't have to see hell. It's there. It's there. Let's take a look at the book of John, and I'll finish up here. I've got another minute, and I'll finish up here. Look at John 3. John 3. John 3 and verse 16. John 3:16, right? Now, we already know John does not have repentance in it. No repentance in the book of John. Well, guess what? There's no hell there, too. Not mentioned once. At least the word. But John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. Period. What's perish? Okay, I'm going to hand out a test like Dr. Aaron did. And I'm going to ask you. I'm going to give you a multiple choice. Perish. Hell, A. You see, the gospel has hell. And if you're giving the gospel to somebody, you don't bring it out. Why? You have to remind people where they're going. You know, repent from what? Oh, it's great. We're heavy on repentance. That's fantastic. Let's repent. But repent from what? My kids are sorry because they don't want the spanking. We're sorry because we don't want to perish. All right, I've run out of time. I have a lot more, Jeff. I know how that feels. If the Lord gives me another day and he doesn't come back today, maybe I'll continue in a Sunday school message. I won't do this during a sermon because I'd rather go exegetically through a sermon. But I think in Sunday school we get an opportunity to do a little bit of a topical approach, which is kind of nice. And fortunately, as I told you last week, I have a wife who has the spiritual gift of teaching, so she helps me kind of make this approach. Anyways, I'm thankful for that. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for Bible Baptist Church and all here that are in attendance, members of this church, that have been saved from the fiery indignation. We're so thankful, Lord. We're thankful that heaven's our home. We're thankful that to be absent from the body will be present immediately with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because for us to die is to be gained, to be with your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that here at Bible Baptist Church, we have a clear understanding of hell as it appears throughout the Scriptures, as it pops up all over the Scripture in its context. I pray that we're discerning, and where we see it, we will not hesitate to bring it out. I pray as we go out and we evangelize our New Jerusalem here in Cromwell, and even for the visitors that came, I pray that we will remind not only ourselves first and foremost what we've been saved from, but also remind them of a place called hell. Let us not be squeamish when it comes to the children. Let us remind them and tell them so that they, who have ears that usually can hear, and it is easy for them to come unto your Son, Lord, I pray that we will bring forth hell so that they have a clear understanding. It's in Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen.